Hello and welcome back to Florida Foodie. I'm the show's producer, Thomas Mates, filling in today for Candace Campos and Lisa Bell. Southern cuisine is known for being rich and comforting, but rarely is it vegan. An Orlando chef is using his talents to turn Southern comfort foods into plant-based creations that everyone can enjoy. He's looking to expand his business, and we are so happy to be joined today by Sean Noonan from Dharma Southern Kitchen. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on here, Thomas.
Fantastic. I'm more than happy to have you. So tell me your background. Before we get to the future, let's go back. Where are you from originally? What's your history with food, and how did you come to this?
Well, I come from an Army family, so I don't really come from anywhere specifically. You know, I was raised an Army brat, kind of to Central Florida in the early 90s. I have left a couple times for school and various things. I lived in Chicago, Atlanta. I lived in Bulgaria for a little while cooking. Mm-hmm. Came back in 2012.
2012.
That's when we started the first business. Well, we took over the existing business of the vegan hot dog cart. We transitioned that into a food trailer, and then we transitioned that into a first brick and mortar, and now we have four of them.
Now you have four of them. So traveling all over the country, I mean, I have to imagine, when you think Army brat, pardon the term, you don't normally think vegan food. How did you come to vegan food?
Well, I originally came to vegan food, I think at the time, it was in my teens, and one of my girlfriends was vegetarian and vegan. Mm-hmm. And so by sort of the nature of the relationship, I was also, you know.
Got it.
I had never really, and that was young in my teens, so I had never really formed that classic negative opinion of vegetarianism.
Yes.
Because I grew up playing ice hockey and in martial arts and things like that, and I was also eating vegetables, and so it never really, I never really got that classic masculine thing that vegetables equal weakness or anything like that.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm doing just fine.
Exactly.
So as I eventually got into culinaria, I was very intrigued in what was going on. And this was, you know, when I really buckled down and got into the cooking world and, you know, sucked it up and went to culinary school and everything like that. This was 15 years ago when every nerd was talking about, you're getting pig tattoos, and everybody was a butcher, you know, that was like the thing, you know, I just figured out bacon exists. So like, okay, well, congratulations, nerd, you know, like, but what's really rebellious is all this other stuff, you know?
Yeah.
So, I started without having really that negative opinion of vegetarian cuisine in the first place.
Yeah.
And also, you know, I've sort of, you know, I've been into other cultures my entire life, and you know, how like, you know, Eastern culture, we're talking tens of thousands of years have been like 90% grain and vegetables, and then maybe like sprinkling in a little bit of meat on top of things, like, you know, when the seasons were good or something like
Even
that.
Even American culture wasn't so meat focused until post World War II.
It's a great way to look at it.
Yeah.
Once the Industrial Revolution sort of kicked in, you know,
and it became cheap and plentiful.
Yep. So I've always gravitated towards it, honestly. I, you know, even if you were going to look at it from the side of a chef's perspective, and I don't know these exact numbers, maybe we eat 5 animals like in repetition,
yeah,
you know, without it being like weird or exotic, but there's like 5,000 vegetables, so like
yes,
if you were a chef, like where would you naturally your curiosity be drawn to? I'll be at the 5,000 realm, you know, like
yeah,
okay, great, I know how to cook a pig, I know how to cook a cow, a chicken, goat, you know, sheep, you know, like I'm sure I'm gonna miss some and your podcast is gonna be filled with comments, but like he forgot python. But in general, I mean, it just made perfect sense to me. And I've always just sort of scoffed at the people that have scoffed at plant-based foods. And now, you know, some of the world's best restaurants, San Pellegrino's top 50. You got Noma going entirely vegan for seasons. 11 Madison Park is now entirely vegan.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's looking into Alan Ducasse's, you know, old vegetable recipes. And, you know, even people recently, I've read some local butchers that have had recent comments in some new publications that are like, yeah, we're going to try some more, you know, vegetable-focused cuisine. So everyone's coming around now because I think vegetables are the pig tattoos of 15 years ago.
Yeah,
of
absolutely.
What's happening
and more
now.
Americans every day are focusing on more of a plant-based diet, either for health reasons or ecological reasons.
Well, everyone figured out you can't eat 10 pounds of charcuterie on a daily basis.
Yeah, right.
And sort of, you know, have a sustainable lifestyle. So you know, that was the other option, too, is that, you know, like I wanted to give my diners, like I was working in sort of an upscale diner in Atlanta, and we had some guests come in, and they loved these specific sandwiches. And I mean, it's like fried green tomatoes with bacon, and it was double deckered with like, and the bread was French toast. And then we poured gravy on top of that. And I forget what they called it, something ridiculous. And they would come in like 3 or 4 times a week and eat these things. And when you looked at these people, they weren't the people that should be eating these things 3 or 4 times a week. And I just felt like I was, you know, like, you want your food to benefit people's lives. Mm-hmm. You know, like, food is medicine, you know? Like, we're one of the few industries where you're ingesting what I'm selling you.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's weird to think of it that way. Mm-hmm. So there's a little bit of a responsibility that as a chef that we bear towards what's happening to our patrons. Because, you know, like, if you're creating a negative environment that somebody is basically addicted to consuming, I mean, what's the difference between you and a heroin dealer at that stage in the game? You know, you're negative, you're profiting off of negative contributing to other people's lives. So, you know, like, so how do you flip the script on that? You know, like, how do you stop pushing these heart attack versions of things and stuff like that, you know, and just going full bore, plant, 100% plant-based and Southern cuisine was like the most ridiculous thing that I could think to tackle. I was like, cause like, you know, Southern cuisine or plant-based foods at the time, you know, everyone was like trying to sell you these like carrot sticks and hummus dip and like convincing you that these like collard wraps were food. And I'm like, man, come on, man. No one wants to eat that garbage, you know? So like,
let's... Even vegans want junk food.
Yeah. So, you know, or just, you know, like actual like sustainable heart that hit those notes, you know, you're savory, you're sweet, you're salty, you're spicy, like umami, all the things on your palate. Like, we want to still have those things. It's not just sort of like, well, I can make it another 4 hours if I eat these 3 things of tofu, you know, like it's like it's in survival mode the entire time. And I didn't stop being athletic. I still like working out. I still do martial arts, Brazilian jiu-jitsu. So you're like, I need it to be sustained. And so that's where we came up with this whole cuisine of just sort of like, okay, this is actual real food. And a lot of it's accidentally vegan in the first place. Like, you know, like mashed potatoes are mashed potatoes until you pour cheese and milk into it. You know, like that's just something that the dairy industry forced us to do 50 years ago, because we all were told that if we didn't consume dairy, somehow our bones were going to liquefy and we weren't going to grow up properly or some nonsense like that. So I think it's part of this. I consider us part of like an entire revolution of sort of like getting culinaria back to where it should be and being more honest with the consumers of what you should be consuming.
Yeah. And so, you know, you said you've traveled all around the country living with the Army and just through your job and in the culinary world. Why did you come to Southern cuisine? You know, you said you lived in Chicago and Bulgaria. Why Southern cuisine?
I naturally gravitated it towards, I guess, its heartiness. You know, one, this is not something else that your podcast is going to probably blow up online. I don't even know what Chicago cuisine is. Like, you know, like, I don't know what Midwestern food, despite living there. I mean, I guess it was because I was living in the middle of the city. I know there's a Chicago dog.
Yeah.
You know, that they dip beef in juices and things like that. But as far as it being like an actual like historical cuisine.
Yeah.
I don't really know what that is. It probably exists, and I'm sure I'm going to get a bunch of emails about it right now. So. But Bulgarian cuisine is fantastic, but it's just not mine. You know?
Yeah.
I didn't really feel that my heart and soul was into it. I was raised mostly in an Italian household, and I love Italian cuisine. I just thought that Southern cuisine was gaining such a reputation of being meat focused.
Yeah.
That I wanted to be a disruptor brand. You know, I wanted to come in here and be like, whoa.
Yeah.
Historically, this is not what we're talking about. You know, historically, you know, collard greens and black-eyed peas and various Carolina gold rices and things like that. Like, these were the main substance of those plates, you know, cornbread and like all those things. If you happen to have some animal, like, okay, we'll sprinkle that in there for various reasons. But, you know, for hundreds of years, this is what Southern food was. So let's stop ignoring that because we all figured out how to make bacon in house or something like that. You know, like, so like, I really wanted to sort of, like I was saying, be one of those disruptor brands and sort of get us back on track of what actual Southern food should be. In some, you know, we're polarized here in America. You know, it's either, oh, we're going to eat nothing but, what's the term, tail to snout or something like that?
Yeah.
Or we're going to be 100% vegan and only eat raw grains and smoothies, you know? And so I wanted to be that happy middle that, okay, let's still have savory profiles. Let's still do that, but let's work with our vegetables to get there.
Yeah, absolutely. And we actually had an oncologist on a few episodes back.
Okay.
I'll get there. Just give me a second. Who said that she promotes a plant-based diet for her patients. And she said that it's not necessarily about giving it all up or completely abstaining from. It's more about like a harm reduction kind of method where you can still have those things if you want them, but in moderation and focus on plants. I take it that's sort of the angle you're coming at where you don't necessarily saying everybody has to be vegan, but if you want a good vegan option, I got it.
100%. And then this gets me in trouble also, because, like, you know, realistically, people that are 100% plant-based, you know, we have places to eat, mm-hmm. you know, and depending on what stat you go off of, let's say it's 7% of the population.
Yeah.
Why would I start a business and only cater to 7% of the population? And if we're going to make an impact, the impact isn't by just, you know, continuously trying to cater to that 7%. The impact's the 93%. Mm-hmm. But getting those other people. So what our goal is I always make, you know, like, people always walk into our restaurants and they're like, they start out the conversation with the point of sale salesperson, "I'm not vegan." Mm-hmm. But I'm like, dude, I don't care.
Yeah, right.
Couldn't care less. You know, like, just welcome. Welcome to the environment. Mm-hmm. Have some food. Do whatever you want afterwards. I'm not here to tell you about, you know, you don't have to, like, buy the cloaked hood and, like, join the secret ceremony. Yeah. Just eat some vegetables, you know, like, just eat the damn vegetables, you know, like, and have a good time doing it. So what we really want to do is we want to bring plant-based foods into sort of part of the national dialogue. You know, like, when your friends or your significant other, when you have that everyday conversation about, like, what are we going to eat today? You know, okay, mm-hmm. we're going to rifle them off. You know, there's sushi, there's Chinese, there's Thai, there's barbecue, this, that, and the mm-hmm. other thing. But, like, if you were like, I don't know, how about vegan? Like, your response is going to be, like, from whoever you're speaking with, is be like, what, why did you just say that? You know,
yeah,
like,
right? Exactly.
You know, like, are you trying to, oh, now you're going to try to make me blah, blah, blah. No, mm-hmm. man, I just want it to be part of that dialogue to where it's like, man, I haven't had good vegan food in, like, 2 weeks. Let's go get vegan.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's that, and that is part of the dialogue in major metropolitan environments. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, in Orlando, you know, we're not a big city. We're not the woods. So mm-hmm. we're, like, in that constant gray area, you know? And I think that it's Orlando's time to where we can have that conversation and not have to be like, because people are like, oh, well, let's do vegan. Okay. And then you immediately like, okay, I'm going to suffer tonight. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to not have the fun time that we were talking about.
And I'm going to leave hungry.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I want to be the option to where, you know, like, okay, no, let's do that. Let's go get a couple beers, you know, and mm-hmm. and down some, you know, some versions of plant-based sloppy joe or plant-based version of a fried chicken sandwich or something like that. And that's part of that dialogue now. It's where, just like you say, well, I'm presuming that you would say, like, oh, mm-hmm. I haven't had Thai in a while. You know, like, well, let's do that as well, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's my goal.
Gotcha. So you first started out as the vegan hot dog cart.
Mm-hmm.
That was in what year?
I think it's 2012.
2012. Okay. So then how long before you get into opening up Dharma?
So we realized that the vegan hot dog cart was doing well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was many people that had run it previously and they'd all done great jobs. But no one had actually branded it the vegan hot dog cart. Everybody mm-hmm. called it some weird little personal thing, even though everybody in Orlando called it the vegan hot dog cart.
Gotcha.
You know? So it didn't have a Facebook page, it didn't have an Instagram, it didn't have a logo, mm-hmm. it didn't have anything. So once we sort of like branded it and tightened it up a little bit, people were lining up down the street because now they can identify, oh, where is this thing going to be? It was less of like a mythical creature that you mm-hmm. happen to run into at 2:45 when you were intoxicated and told other people, like, I found the vegan hot dog cart. Like, no, you didn't. Yeah. You know, kind of thing. I haven't seen it in 6 months, you know, kind of thing. We found a solid location. We started building that clientele base and we were like, this has more legs than just being a cart.
Mm-hmm.
But operating an exclusively vegan hot dog menu, mm-hmm. I didn't think would transfer to a brick and mortar goal at the end of the mm-hmm. day. You know, like Hot Dog Heaven over on Colonial, I don't know how they do it.
Yeah.
You know, just being there for 800 years maybe or something like that, mm-hmm. but only serving hot dogs, I think that there's a challenge there, you know. Plus, it limits my creativity a little mm-hmm. bit. Everything has to be on the medium of a plant-based hot dog. Like, I mean, you know, like...
Yeah, exactly. And once you've had a plant-based hot dog, you've had most of them.
Yeah, okay, that's fair. Yeah, yeah. That's what I mean. And just like any hot dogs, after that, you're just piling things on top of things. So we had to expand the menu.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where Dharma Southern Kitchen came about. So we had a food trailer, mm-hmm. and then we were able to sort of jump into sandwiches and sides and things like that and play with other mediums and all, you know, before you know it, I had too many things to even cook on the trailer itself. Mm-hmm. Coincidentally, you know, our media following started, you know, blowing up. We've got a wonderful social media manager, Samantha Lawless. She's been with the company since day one. She does an awesome job. And we, you know, we started seeing all this, like, when can I start depending on, because people were like following us to, like, a farmer's market mm-hmm. or we'd pop up in a gas station parking lot and people were like, no, I just want to know, like, when I can come and, like, do this on a more routine basis and, you know, have a beer because, you know, you can't sell beer out of a food truck.
Yeah.
Things like that. So that's when we found our location on South Street in the Milk District,
mm-hmm.
Market on South. So that opened 7 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do the math right now, 2015.
About seven.
I think, yeah, so somewhere between 2014 and 2015, we opened Market on South.
Okay.
And we rock and rolled there for a while, learning a ton of lessons about, you know, like, because, you know, like being an executive chef at someone else's restaurant is an entirely different animal than running a restaurant and having like all the, I had to become a payroll specialist. I had to become a CPA, basically. I had to become a bookkeeper. You know, I had to know about equipment maintenance schedules and, you know, lease negotiations and all this whole other world.
And it's all you. It's your... mostly your money, mostly your base.
It was 100, basically. Yeah, I mean, like, I have a partner at Market on South, and we split up some of those responsibilities, but you're just collectively tackling the same all new concepts.
Yeah.
You know, so like, and there's not shit that they teach you in culinary school.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's not classes on this.
You're just instantly drinking from a fire hose.
100%. Yeah. So luckily, you know, the community support was there, and I was able to do both for a while. And I think it was 2019, April of 2019, when we went into our Tampa location in the Armature Works Food Hall. And then, of course, you know, what was it, 10 months later, you know, the world falls apart.
Yeah.
Kind of, as we have a lease signed in Sanford. So we opened up the Sanford one in July of 2020.
Oh, wow.
And full-blown middle of all of it. We're
That's just when everything reopened, too. Like, just started to trickle open.
Oh, it was wild because, I mean, and then, you know, you've got all kinds of, like, social political commentary happening at the damn register.
Yeah.
Do I have to do this or do I not have to do this? And you're you're a hippie if you believe that weird nonsense.
And you're already getting that as a vegan restaurant.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a lot. It was a lot to handle. So anything, my takeaway from the pandemic was just like I was able to achieve a new level of damn zen. I was just like I was able to really prioritize, you know. I actually start most of my days out at doing Brazilian jiu-jitsu because when you start your day out with another grown man or woman trying to asphyxiate you, you know, strangle you to unconsciousness.
Yeah.
The rest of the day is pretty simple.
Right.
You know, like, and if you really like take the comparisons out of it, you know,
you've
like
over that hurdle.
Exactly. Nice and bright and early, you know, like took a shower. Everybody else is sort of, I'm laughing at them about like, they're like, hey, everyone has this really big problem. Like, do you? Let me tell you what happened an hour and a half ago.
Right?
You know,
I still have the ligature marks.
So I just learned sort of how to navigate that. And I'm, you know, not to be braggy, but I think most small business owners can say that, you know, sort of like what happens from here into the future, we're equipped with a level of thick skin and multitasking capabilities and just survival skills that nobody had, you know, 2.5 years ago. So I think there's going to be a lot of cool things in store for Orlando in the future.
Absolutely. So you opened the second two locations very close together. And that was right in the thick of everything. Mm-hmm. What was the biggest challenge? I mean, outside of the obvious, you know, like, so many restaurants have dealt with hiring shortages and supply chain issues. You know, I have to imagine that, you know, you who need very specific things for your restaurant, that might have been even more of a challenge.
So the biggest challenge in hindsight, I haven't actually really quantified this in my head either. I'm distilled, quantified. You were dealing with people's lives, you know? And, you know, we already were sort of talking about that earlier about how, you know, we sell a product that you physically consume.
Yeah.
You know, it will affect your health, positive or negative, minute or grand. Like, what you purchase food-wise, like, it does dictate the longevity of your life, whether you're going to have a heart attack at that stage in the game or anything like that, you know? So, but this was an amplified version, you know? Like, we had to worry about, how is this thing being transferred? You know, like, am I setting up? And we have like 60, 70 employees. Like, you know, like, and those people have families and they have children. And then they go and see mothers and fathers and grandparents. And, you know, like, and so there's a social responsibility aspect as well as, like, you know, you're taking care of this family that you've brought on to, you know, support one another. That was what kept me up the most at night. Was just trying to figure out, like, we have no idea what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
No one knew. You know, we're all not pandemic specialists or you know, whatever those are called.
Yeah.
And, you know, but here we are, you know, frontline workers or whatever we were called at the time.
Yeah.
You know, cloth masks or KN95s or 6 feet distance or 12 feet distance or, and then, you know, we have people walking into our store just, you know, to take their mask off and start screaming weird, dumb DeSantis. Sorry. Like, it's just sort of like, where does, like, it's like the whole world went bat shit for a little bit there, and I just had to be the calm in the storm, you know, like, so like, that old thing where it's like, you know, hey, show me your hand kind of thing, you know, and you just had to be the steady hand, you know, no matter what decisions you were making. But I think we made some bad ones and we made some really great ones, but we were on the fly the whole time.
So you guys weathered it now, and now you're looking to the future.
We're looking to the, so the restaurants made it through, no one died, you know? That was, you know, a miracle on its own. We're looking to the future. About 3 months ago, we were like, okay, now it's time to not ignore what's currently happening, but it's sort of, you know, I think the learning phase is over, you know, even if new strains come out, like, we know what our protocol is now. So now we can
build all the tools.
Exactly. So let's start building. You know, and that's when we started looking at raising capital, where those locations are going to be, you know, what are our realistic time frames, you know. So our goal right now is 3 locations by the end of the year. So
by the end of 2022.
Yeah. So when we opened up the one downtown last week, so we're one, you know.
And again, where's that, just so everyone knows?
It's on Orange Avenue in Sly Fox. So, you know, Sly Fox Bar in Orange and Washington, we partnered up with that location. So we're the first vegan restaurant to have full liquor.
Nice.
So that's awesome. You know, open until 2:45 a.m. So, you know, people can have fun other spaces downtown, go through last call, and then, you know, everyone wants to stumble somewhere and have something good afterwards, and hopefully we're that spot. So we're right in that little corridor where there's like Tinataco, there's Gringos Locos, you know, there's Neon Beach, and then there's, you know, we're vegan hot dog cart inside of Sly Fox is right there as well. So we're going to do all vegan burgers. We're doing like loaded tots. Sides of tots, all various different kinds of actual vegan hot dogs, and then we're going to expand on that menu as we keep rocking and rolling.
Gotcha. And so you have 2 more locations that you're hoping to open this year. Do you have locations for those yet?
Yeah, we're actually in construction on one, and it's on Old Cheney. It's a location called Fort Pitt. You know, Old Cheney's that weird little road between 436 and 50, right at Dancers.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
I mean, not that I've known where. Yeah. I think there's that place there called Dancers Royale. So you got, hey, whoever owns Dancers needs to give me some money for that plug, you know? Yeah. So there's a spot over there that used to be an old general store forever ago. Old Cheney used to run all the way out to 50 and take you to the beach. Like,
yeah.
An old, like, dirt and buggy kind of Model T Ford time frame.
Right. Straight to, like, Titusville. Yeah.
Yeah. So you'd load up at this place. It was called Fort Pitt because the family was from Pittsburgh. And it's just been a sustaining, like, it wasn't a general store for the last, like, 50 years. It was more of, like, a handy mart kind of environment. And so we're in construction to make that sort of a Dharma outpost kind of thing. It'll be a smaller environment than Market on South, but we have a large backyard that we will be able to mural out and show, like, project movies, and, you know, we'll have sunshades and, you know, festival lighting and music back there. And so it's a larger facility, even though the kitchen space will be smaller, but we'll still be rocking and rolling on over there. And the third location, we're looking to sign a lease. We almost have it locked up in Tampa. We want to take a actual solid brick and mortar to Tampa, but actually I just got back. I literally came to this podcast from Gainesville. I was looking at Gainesville also. So we're looking, you know, up and coming metropolitan environments, collegiate heavy, you know, we trend well with people between, like, ages of, like, 18 and 42.
Yeah, is there any plans for anything out near, like, a UCF or anything like that?
So UCF is definitely on our radar. We just have to find the right spot, you know, kind of thing. So
yeah, and it's coming at a premium now. I know a lot of places are popping up there. I can think of, you know, 3 or 4 just off the top of my head.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the Waterford Lakes, UCF area, it's a madhouse out there. So, and I'm from Oviedo. So I know what's going on out there. We have our eye on it. I can't imagine we won't have an Oviedo by 2024. So,
yeah.
But for right now, the end of the year plans, we're on track.
Yeah. So what's the radius you're looking at? You said Gainesville, you already have a spot in Tampa. Sanford, are you just trying to focus kind of on that, like...
Yeah, whatever, is that Central Florida?
More or less, yeah, going out towards, like, to, like, Daytona is pretty much. Yeah,
when we have a plan for when we tackle South Florida or North Florida and things like that, we're actually looking at South Florida and what we're called the Low Country. So South Florida, you know, we got to do a Fort Lauderdale, a West Palm, and a Miami or something in those, in that territory.
Yeah.
Everyone in Sunrise and Hialeah is going to be yelling at me for not coming to the New York City. Those are the general parameters of, like, you know, it took me forever to realize that everything wasn't Miami. Even being from almost from Florida, you know, like I'd be cruising down the turnpike or down 95 and I'd see some high rise structures. I'd be like, oh, we're in Miami. I'd be like, no, you're in Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah.
That's Miami, right? Like, no. It's like, okay. Yeah. It's another 45 minutes or something like that.
And even just like South Florida, Central Florida, North Florida, they're like three different states almost.
Yep. Yeah, 100%. So we're going to tackle that all at one time, you know, as opposed to like nitpicking down there. We'll open all three of those at the same time.
Gotcha. Are these going to be all company owned? Are you franchising?
So 50-50 right now. So our plans are is that we've got sort of both things happening. The locations that we've talked about currently, those are all company owned locations. Mm-hmm. But what we're doing with those company owned locations is something that's necessary for franchising called proof of concept. So you're proving your concept. Mm-hmm. Is it worth franchising? So you know, any franchisee could easily say, well, yeah, you got one location that got lucky at this one spot and time, and you know, your own personal local connections helped draw all of that. But you can't do that if you open up one in LA because you ain't know anybody in LA, you know, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So we have to prove the concept.
Yeah.
In addition to that, there's probably about a year of just paperwork that needs to happen in order to become a legitimate franchisable commodity where you can go to somebody else and legitimately sell your brand to them. So we've started that documentation process a few weeks ago.
Gotcha.
So we're...
So is like the goal to become sort of like, I mean, not fast food, but, you know, it's like it's similar to like a chain on the level of like a McDonald's, a Denny's, a...
Well, those are big.
Yeah.
I mean, like if there was some paperwork here, like, hey, this is how, you know, you get to McDonald's status, I would sign the documents immediately.
Yes. Yeah.
And for two reasons. I mean, one, I mean, like, you know, who doesn't, you know, want to have something such a grand business themselves, but also the impact that we can make being a plant-based brand
on that scale.
I mean, just to be able to take those metrics and show like, hey, like this is how much water you've saved and this is how much this and you know, like all that kind of stuff. I would love to see something happen at that scale, but I also my brain operates at that level, but I have to tone myself down and factor in like 5-year plans.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, does it encourage you when you see places like Burger King, you know, doing like plant-based, you know, patties? I know they're not vegan, but I'm
100%. I mean what it's telling me is that I was right, not to be boastful, but you know, the market's ready for this. People do want this kind of stuff. You know, like, and despite the, you know, the naysayers are always the loudest, but they're always the minorities, you know? So, you know, the people that are screaming about this is a trend and blah, 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 this, that, and the other thing, like they're aging out. We're not going to hear those voices much anymore. You know, like people are, the stigma's gone. Mm-hmm. I think it's almost entirely gone. When people walk in and they're like, man, I'm vegan and my daughter dragged me here. It's like, okay, grandpa, like let me hold your hand. We're going to get through this together, you know? Exactly. But it's not like we have to do that with everybody anymore. Most of the people don't even think twice about it. And that's becoming part of that national dialogue that I was talking about earlier.
So, okay. So someone comes to your restaurant and it's their first time there. I'm not a vegan, but blah, blah, blah. What do you recommend? What's their entry point at Dharma where you can say like, oh, you want this, try this, and everything else will kind of make sense?
Well, so our fried chicken is great. You know, we didn't open it with fried chicken on the menu. It's something we've developed over the last few years and we've had on our menu for the last year and a half, and it's become our number one seller.
Is it like a wheat meat or?
So it's a soy product that we get. There's actually a brand that I found them in Sweden.
Oh,
and I talked to them, and so we're bringing in an actual product that's not available to the average American consumer. You can't go and pick it up in the grocery store, like, you know, like Beyond or something like that. So I like how we're a unique brand. We're, you know, we're one of the only ones using that. But it is an entirely soy product, so but not gluten, so it doesn't, you know. But then we bred it in glutinous stuff, so
yeah,
you know, like, which is a big, you know, the miss. A lot of people think that because we have plant based cuisine that we also have everything, you know, we're GMO free, we're gluten free, we're soy free, we're nightshade free, and I'm like, man, that's awesome that you need that in your cuisine, but like, well, who told you to come to the fried chicken, the vegan fried chicken spot to get your gluten free fix on, you know?
Right,
like, so,
exactly.
But we do offer gluten free products, so I want to respect those consumers, and there's and it's the same way that I was entertained by doing plant based foods. Okay, let's see what happens when you take the gluten away. You know, like that's the same kind of curiosity is piqued, you know, but like a lot of it doesn't happen under the same roof. So like, we have to sort of tell people like, you know, like, is it a preference or is it a sensitivity or are you going to die?
Yeah.
Cause like, if you're going to die, you need to, I mean, like,
Yeah.
You know, like, try somewhere else. There's a bakery right there. It's in the air, you know? Like, we have also, you know, like, we just were able to get our cheese sauce to be gluten-free, mm-hmm. and a couple other things. So, the big entry point, because we do fried chicken box, you know, like, mm-hmm. those old school Southern, like, white boxes of chicken. Yeah. You know, you get a couple pieces of chicken, you get a biscuit, you get a little, you know, like, we do agave drizzle on there instead of honey, mm-hmm. and a little side. So you can choose, like, mac and cheese or potato salad or anything along those lines. So we throw some pickles in there, some bread and butter pickles. And so, like, when you look at it, it's like the nostalgia of, like, that old, like, you know, mm-hmm. Church's chicken box or Maryland fried chicken box or anything like that. You know, like, it's there. We're doing it. Like, mm-hmm. that's what our brand is trying to say. It's like, hey, just, you know, sometimes, you know, if you want to next day go and eat the actual fried chicken, I'm not here to tell you what to do.
Right.
No, I'm not going to tell you what to do in your bedroom, in your church, or what you're doing for lunch the next day. I'm just saying, today, why don't you come and try what we're doing?
Excellent. You know? Yeah. Yeah. So where can people find you online? You know, where's I know you've already said there are locations. Where can people find you online, social media, all that?
Dharma Southern Kitchen on Instagram, Dharma Southern Kitchen on Facebook, dharmasouthernkitchen.com.
Nice and simple. All right. Well, thank you so much, Sean Noonan. It was a pleasure having you here. I wish you the best of luck with your expansions.
You,
keep us up to date with everything you're doing, and, you know, we'll keep the listeners up to date.
Cool.
Thank you for listening to Florida Foodie. We'd also like to thank our guest, Sean Noonan. You can find out more about his business online at dharmasouthernkitchen.com. You can also find it on Facebook and Instagram. Just search Dharma Southern Kitchen. Be sure to follow Lisa Bell online. Search Lisa Bell News on Facebook and Instagram, or Lisa Bell News 6 on Twitter. You can also find Candace Campos on social media. She's on Twitter. Just search at Candace News 6. And on Facebook, search Candace Campos News 6. Also, a big thank you to our technical producers, Derek Mosier and Ryan Haley, and our director, Rich Burns. I'm the show's producer, Thomas Mates. Please take the time to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, or you can tell a friend about us. And you can find videos of all of our podcasts online at clickorlando.com/Florida Foodie, and be sure to sign up for the Florida Foodie newsletter while you're there.